Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. Thumbnails, that's right. We talk about animation. It's all fair game, whether it's Scooby-Doo or Akira. So today, we're talking about Metro, putting out their list of the top 20 animated films on Netflix. Some guys have been talking about it, asking me what I thought, and they've got a pretty solid list because Netflix has really dipped their toe into animation, you know, to a certain degree for the American audience and for the audience abroad. And I saw their list and it was pretty decent. But people were asking me what I thought about the top five. So here are my top five of animated films that are on Netflix. Starting with number five, with Madagascar. Madagascar is on their list, but it is definitely not number five. And the reason I placed it higher on my list as opposed to Metro is because I think people sleep on Madagascar and how much joy it brings to children. Madagascar is funny. Like, it's a lot funnier than it should be. Now, of course, when it comes to animation, we have a bunch of talking animals. And when it comes to this list also, there's going to be a lot of DreamWorks because of the deal that DreamWorks has with Netflix. But Madagascar is well put together. It's, you know, we've seen it before, but it's well put together. It's got some great voice acting and it's funny. I think a lot of people sleep on how much joy and how much quiet time, if you're a parent, you get from Madagascar. So that's why I'm gonna put it in my number five. There's a lot of stuff on here that I think is dope, but number five is Madagascar. So my number four is The Little Prince. The Little Prince is a film that I saw, I guess, earlier this year, maybe late last year. And this is one that I think not only can children get something from, but I think adults can get something from. And I think this is a great conversation starter for children and adults on life, on life choices, on, you know, how, you know, maybe careers might play out or how different decisions might play out. I think there's a lot to learn from this as far as being in a work environment, as far as following your dreams, as far as being like who you are. I think there's a lot to learn from The Little Prince and a lot to talk about. So I think as a great conversation piece, and of course I love the style of animation, I had to put The Little Prince in there because it's solid. Little Prince is solid, and I think if you haven't seen it, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll really get a kick out of Little Prince, and it'll give you a lot to talk about. If you have someone who's, say, 5, 6, I think it's, you know, something to start talking about with your little youngster. So, of course, my number three is Shrek. Shut up, it's Shrek. It's a classic. I don't care what you say. People don't realize how huge Shrek was. Like, because now we're, you know, if you're young now or if you're far removed, you forget how big Shrek was. Shrek was massive when it came out. And I think just for that, you have to give Shrek its props. Shrek is just, man, it's similar to Madagascar as far as it's got the voice acting, it's got the comedy. But this, I think, a plus and minus, it has a lot of references. Now, a lot of those references are kind of dated now, but they still come through. They're still funny. There's still enough to get a giggle. If you watch it now and you check out Shrek, you're like, you know what I'm saying? You still get that nice little giggle. Kids will love it. Kids are gonna love the, of course, the fart and the poop jokes and the donkey and all that. They'll love that. But I think Shrek is still a monster hit. Whether, you know, if they put the original Shrek in theaters, I'm pretty sure it'd sell out a screening or two. I think they could still make some money if they were like, remastered Shrek, you know, in theaters, you know, digitally reproduced or something. They probably make a lot of dough on it. Shrek is just a hit. Kids love it. And sometimes you just need something that kids love. And I mean, we've got Madagascar, kids love that. We got Little Prince that I think get kids' minds working. And Shrek is another one that I think is just a crowd pleaser. So that's my number three, Shrek. So before we get to my number two, let me remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. Super dope. And you can check them out at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after show, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang bang at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So, how about those last two? We've talked about Madagascar, Crowd Pleaser, Little Prince, nice to get the brain juices flowing for the youngster, nice conversation piece for older and younger, and Shrek, which is just a massive hit. My number two is the Prince of Egypt. This is one that you might not have seen coming, but the Prince of Egypt is one of those films that it's kind of like a musical. It's biblical too. If you're not a Christian, it might not work for you. But it's like musical, it's biblical, and it actually shows people of color in Egypt. And I think this is one that is highly slept on when it comes to like DreamWorks stuff. I think this is super like under the radar, and I think people don't see this movie enough. And I think it's definitely worth your watch. Now, if of course you're not into the story of Moses, you might want to pick this one up. But if you're not opposed to Moses, if you're not opposed to the story of Moses and all that, I think this is one that you can have a lot of fun with. And once again, of course, a nice conversation piece about indigenous people, about people in Africa, about Africa as a whole, about Egypt with your child. I think there's a lot of stuff that you can get and learn and teach with this story because it opens that door. So yeah, Prince of Egypt. The Prince of Egypt is a nice one that I think is definitely slept on. So it's on my number two from their list. Of course, there's other animated films, but from their list, I'm moving the Prince of Egypt to number two for me. And of course, finally, we've had Madagascar. We've had The Little Prince. We've had Shrek. We've had The Prince of Egypt. But my number one, which is crazy because it's their number 20, is Rise of the Guardians. I think a lot of people, I don't know what happened with this movie. Like maybe it was poorly marketed or whatever. Rise of the Guardians is way sweeter than you might think. Like, especially if you haven't checked it out yet. This, like, I don't know why Rise of the Guardians does not get the love it deserves. Like man, this movie is just straight up baller. Look, yo, you got Jack Frost, you got Santa Claus, you got the Easter Bunny, you got Sandman, you got the Tooth Fairy. They are like the holiday Avengers, man. And they go up against the Nightmare Dude? He's the Nightmare Man, all right? For these purposes, he's Nightmare Man. And they go up against Nightmare Man, and he's like, imagine you got the Avengers and you got Ultron, but it's they're battling for the minds of children, all right? And he's making kids have bad dreams, and they're gonna take the dreams and make them good again. And look, all you need to know is this is sweet. You get cool fight scenes. You get the Easter Bunny with the boomerang. It's just, all of it is so cool. And I have no idea how it was on Metro's number 20. Like, dude, it just got in? Really? The most ill film out of the whole list, Rise of the Guardians, is just, the joint is just sick, man. There's fighting scenes, there's the wonder and joy of kids, there's so much fun, and it's funny. So you get an adventure that's fun, it's funny, you get fight scenes. This movie has everything that I think the other four films have, which is you have a conversation about childhood, about dreams, about protecting your thoughts. You have the story about you have fun and funny. You have jokes and stuff like that. I think they got like a poop joke in there or something. You know kids love poop jokes. And then you get cool adventure, man. He goes all over the world. Jack Frost is just cool. Man, there's so much to love about Rise of Guardians. If you have not seen it, of course, you should check it out. Now, of course, there's a lot of films that are probably on Netflix that aren't in Metro's list. So I will add some honorable mentions because I was only taking out of the list that they made. But for my honorable mention, we've got Gantz O. Now this is for adults. This is, before I say anything, Gantz O is for adults. But if you're an adult that's into animation, this is a joint that I think you will truly love. Like this, like Gantz O is on point. Next, and I can't remember, I believe Kubo and the Two Strings is on Netflix. I can't remember, Maybe I got it digitally somewhere else. If Kubo and the Two Strings is on Netflix, then you need to check that out too, if you haven't already checked that out. And to the animated side, if you haven't seen Voltron, I know this isn't a film, but Voltron the series, that's another joint that I think is definitely worth your time. So guys, there's tons of animation on Netflix. Holla at me, I'm gonna holla at you. Oh yeah, we're gonna get into another wonderful episode of On Screen. And I'm so strangely intrigued and psyched and hyped. Let's just get this started. Jordan Peele and Spike Lee are coming with a film now titled Black Klansman. Yeah, that's right. I didn't believe it either, but this is a true story about an officer infiltrating the KKK back in 1978. He answered like this, this newspaper ad to be part of the Klan. He, you know, answered it and ended up rising the ranks to be in the head of his local chapter. Like, this is like reverse Sandra Dolezal. All right, so peep this. Spike Lee is gonna direct and produce with Jordan Peele. It's about Ron Stallworth. Of course, this officer who I guess was just bold enough to even try this and then succeeded at it. You know, of course, to get all kinds of, you know, information on like what these guys were like doing, the activities they were committing and all of that stuff and all of these crimes that they were going through and super behind enemy lines. Now, right now, all we know is that the ball is rolling. They've already starred or casted John David Washington to star in the role as the cop, Ron Stallworth. I really want to see what this is going to turn out to be. Like, I never even heard of this story. And second, wow. Just as a black man, that's the most, he is the most CIA undercover brother that I've ever seen in my life. But I can't wait till it comes in theaters. So of course, guys, holler at me, I'ma holler at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you think about Black Klansman, because I'm like, wow, this one, this happened, and two, we're getting a movie on it by Spike Lee and Jordan Peele? Bruh, this joint about to be crazy. Anyway, we gotta move on, but I really want to know your thoughts. So next up is a little bit of love for the movie It. Being R-rated, being a horror film, for it to make $117 million in its first weekend is bananas. And a lot of people are responding to it well. The reviews have been great. The money has been great. So people want to know what I think about it. Well, I haven't seen it. I'm gonna be honest. Look, I like to sleep at night, all right? So I can't be doing all that. But I will say that I'm just excited that this is hopefully continuing the trend of doper horror films, because there's been a while where horror films were kind of, you know, they were kind of weak, but I think this is getting, you know, hopefully into an era where they're going to turn around for the better. Now, before I go on and see what you guys are thinking about it, I don't remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. Super dope. And you can check them at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after show, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang of it at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So with the success of these new films like, you know, Lights Out or Get Out or Split or, you know, The Conjuring and Annabelle and all those things, and now It, as horror fans out there, and I'm speaking straight to y'all, how do you guys feel about the future? Are you glad that these horror films are back? Or are you of the mind that, well, these aren't really horror films, these are more thrillers? Like, how are you feeling about these? Because as someone who was a big horror fan back in high school, I'm excited for it. I mean, I'm not watching it. You know, look, I gotta sleep. But, and a brother gotta sleep comfortable. But what I'm saying is, I'm psyched that the genre is back and doing well, not only monetarily, but also critically. So guys, holler at me, I'ma holler at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you thought about It. Don't have to worry about spoiling me, because I'm not going to see it. And of course, let me know what you think about the horror genre as a whole going forward. So, got one more thing, and pretty hyped for the celebration. So next up, is just a little bit of kudos for the Emmy Awards. As far as the creative arts are concerned, there's a couple of people that I wanted to pull out because there's stuff that I just thought was cool. And there are people that I'm a huge fan of, or properties that I'm a huge fan of, starting with Ava DuVernay. The 13th documentary got, like, I believe 4 awards. Just, man, first the documentary, I reviewed the documentary last year. It's an amazing documentary. If you haven't seen it, 13th is about just the total, I don't know if you should say shutdown or, well, not shutdown, the total horror story that is our prison justice system and how it plays out through institutionalized racism, subjugation, things of that nature. And it's really, it's gripping, y'all. It is really gripping. It's tough to watch at times, but is crazy informational, and it really kind of helps you see how things are done and maybe even why they're done. Now, moving on, we got Common. And of course, his Emmy was being part of 13th, and it was A Letter to the Free, the song that he was in, and he's one step closer to his EGOT. And not only is he one step closer to his EGOT, he said that he's into going into some theater. And that's something that I haven't seen and I haven't asked for, but I'm definitely interested in. And then last, I want to talk about the juried winner for Outstanding Individual in Animation, I believe, which is Samurai Jack. The final season of Samurai Jack was just another, it was just another top quality display in animation. Just master strokes from color to the dialogue to the action. There was so much to love, and of course we closed out his story. Though it was sad, of course, it was nice to see it go. And they really just, man, Samurai Jack was dope. Like, I always thought it was kind of cool when I was younger, but this final season, man, they put their foot in it. So those are the 3 juried winners, or sorry, the 3 winners and 1 juried winner that I really enjoyed. Of course, guys, there's tons of winners. So what I need you to do is holler at me down in the comments. Let me know what you think about the Emmy winners so far. Like, are you hype on them Stranger Things joints? Did you see Barb wearing normal clothes? That was interesting, even though we've seen her wear normal clothes before, but it's always funny to see her normal. And then, you know, all of these other people that are just coming out, like Samantha Bee getting some love. So, of course, guys, down below, we're gonna talk about the Emmys, talk about it, and talk about Black Klansmen. Who knew? Anyway, talk shop, that's right, and we're talking about Ghostbusters, Get Real. And we're gonna jump straight into how much I love this book. Well, actually, it's kind of like 4 issues, but it's put into one book where you have the Ghostbusters of the original series, the cartoon, and you have our newer designed Ghostbusters for the comic books. We have Eric Burnham and Dan Shoning together, and this is a riot. Now, before I get into, you know, how they interact and how it's so crazy, the way they actually get together is because another god has decided to encroach on our physical plane. And this guy named Proteus does not like being captured. Actually, if he's being captured or has been captured, he is forced to show people the future. Now, with that being said, and also having a whole bunch of humans that their job is to catch ghosts, you know he wants them gone. So he decides, hey, why don't I capture them before they capture me? Because that makes sense. And actually, his plan would work if there wasn't a witch or an ex-witch, you know, she out the game. But the Ghostbusters actually help her at the very beginning of the series. So she puts a ward of protection on them so that they're pretty okay when it comes to anybody trying to do harm to them. So now let's jump into what I love. What sticks out in this more than anything is Eric Burnham and his writing. He understands Ghostbusters, and he even understands the idiosyncrasies of their own characters. Like, when Peter and Peter get together, like, you have the cartoon version of Peter and you have the comic book version of Peter, you know, they're not too excited about each other. Actually, they rub each other the wrong way because they're way too much alike. Except though,
One is a little more playful, of course, the cartoon version, and one is a little more serious. Even so, that he's like, yo, I'm gonna punch this dude out. But I love the way they worked out, you know, the different dimensions with the extreme Ghostbusters, with the other Janine, with Kylie, with the two Winstons together. You know, you have these two guys that are very on board with each other because they're always like, you know, true north. They're happy, they're excited, they're here to, you know, kind of help the team. They're true heroes. Now, before we go forward, because there's a whole bunch of cool stuff to get into, I gotta remind you, you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. Super dope. And you can check them out at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebangabang, and live streams every single day at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So you're wondering, what's the art like? How does it translate? Can Dan do more than just his regular style of Ghostbusters? And the answer is yes, he definitely can. These Ghostbusters look exactly like the animated series. So much that after I read this issue, I went back and watched like two episodes on Netflix of the Ghostbusters on, you know, the real Ghostbusters on Netflix. And I mean, spot on. The colors, just the intonations, everything is there from the writing to the art. It is spot on. This series of books is just fun. Like, if you love Ghostbusters, this is Ghostbusters times 10. And you really get to enjoy that when they get together and have their kind of montage on research, figuring out who's chasing them down, how these ghosts are going in between dimensions, where all these ghosts are coming from, why, and figuring out it's Proteus, and even getting attacked inside of the firehouse and using the Go Red Sox or I Love the Red Sox or whatever. There's so much to love in seeing Ray and Egon and Egon. And it's funny because the only ones that don't get along is Peter and Peter. I mean, they make fun of each other throughout. They talk about, well, the cartoon talks about the comic book one's bald spot. The one from the comic book says he wants to punch the other one in the face. It's Peter and Peter are not jiving. And funny thing is, when Janine sees her other self, she's like, does my voice sound like that? And even Ray's like, and like, yeah. Anyway, but it's fun to cross these two properties together, even though they're the same property, but you know, they're two different adaptions of said property. And it's funny to see how they link, how they rub each other the wrong way, where the rough and the smooth edges are, and I give this joint a definite A plus. The Proteus and his deal with being caught, his deal with his future, his deal with his fate, even seeing the nice little bit with the extreme Ghostbusters, seeing the original teams mix and match together, there's a lot to like, man. The art is there, the writing is there. I'm telling you, if you haven't read Ghostbusters Get Real on our wonderful read-along, definitely pick it up, because I think if you love the first and second series of Ghostbusters with Dan Schoening and Eric Burnham, and if you love the animated series, this is for you. So guys, holler at me, I'm gonna holler at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you thought about Ghostbusters Get Real. It is a riot. Movie reviews, and I'm not gonna waste your time because we about to have some fun with Kill Command. Now I know you guys know I'm an action fiend. I love action movies, and this is a military sci-fi joint that I think is definitely worth your time. So if you have Netflix, you can check it out there. The movie is super cool. But I will say, before we even get started, I know people gonna message me, I know y'all gonna be in the comments or whatever, this movie got three brothers in it, and not one of them makes it to the end. But anyway, the point is, I like this movie a lot. And this is gonna be a spoiler review, so if you've already seen it, that's great. If you haven't, I'm gonna try to kind of walk around the major plot points so you don't lose too much, but this is spoiler, so if you stay beyond this point, you're hurting yourself. So the biggest thing that I love about this movie is just the time-honored tradition of man versus machine. Of course, this has, I guess, moments of Aliens, moments of Predator, moments of Terminator in it, but this, I guess, somehow navigates it in a way where it doesn't seem like a ripoff or it doesn't seem cheesy. And you have these things called like techers, who are these people that, you know, are enhanced with technology. You have this training facility named Harbinger One. They have to go there and everything seems fine at first. They just want military men that are from the Marines. They've had combat, you know, combat experience, and they're just going to go out there and train. That's it. All they're doing is going to train. And it seems like your basic training op. And what I love is that inside of this training, you know, I guess inside of this training op, you don't get your basic military people thing. And you know, the kind of basic military, like, back home, I have, you know, my wife waiting for me. Or, oh man, I really wish I was just at home enjoying the lovely fruits of my labor or something like that. You don't get those kind of discussions with these soldiers. I mean, they do relate to each other, but they don't kind of tie you down with your quintessential kind of cliche discussions about, I really wish I was back home, blah, blah, blah. Now, with the characters that they are dealing with, you have a bunch of Marines that are with this techer, and you can tell that she knows something, and she's good and she's bad. The thing that I like about her character is that she actually makes a decent arc from the beginning to end. Of course, she's keeping a lot of secrets from them, and Mills has a problem with giving the whole truth. Like, because from the beginning, she sees this huge robot that she knows is like mad super dangerous, and we find out in the end that she even created these robots, and she sees that they've been killing Marines, but she keeps that joint quiet, you know, and we find out that it's not that she was trying to be mean, she was trying to figure out if she could fix it. But before you can find out if you could fix it, if you know something is killing people, it would be nice to let these guys know that they're not going on a training op, they're going on more of a search and rescue, they're going on more of a survival mission, they're going on more of a like a straight combat mission. I mean, you can't just put these people in harm's way. And when they start firing, they start taking these Marines out, because they're these special units called SAR, and it's like study and reprogram, and they pretty much watch, you know, the Marines do whatever, and then they put their own military spins or military, I guess, actions on them. They turn their own style and craft and, you know, complete setup and layout on themselves. And I know that you want to keep this on lock, and you want to keep it, you know, on a low because of the company you work for, but people's lives are in danger. Now, before we go forward into the very end of this, I gotta remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans is super dope, and you can check them out at blackhollywoodlive.com. They have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebangabang, and live streams every day at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. Now, since we're talking about robots and humans, let's get into the tech. The one thing that I really like about this is that the technology that they use in this, the sci-fi that they use in this, isn't so far-fetched. Like, the way the robots move seem like something that could be made in the next, say, 10 to 20, maybe 25 years. And the way they move seems to be more military sci-fi instead of like military sci-fi set fantasy, if you can make that distinction. And I love how they pit them together with just fighting for your life between a program, because even though these guys, I mean, these robots are definitely, they've got skills, they've got talent, and they are on point. You can see where, you know, fighting for your life as opposed to just being like a super smart robot, you see where the, how can you say, the smart, the ambition, the ideas of kind of be very crafty come into play when, you know, it's between you and a bullet. And that's where I have to kind of really give some love to the character of Bukes, because Bukes is someone who has stayed cool and calm, even though you can tell he's panicking, but he stayed calm enough to be, you still use some ingenuity, still be crafty, and still figure out a way to fight these things, because they find out that there's more than one of them. There's like a whole hangar bay of these things. There's like 9 or 10 of them ready to go. And Mills is not able to control these things through her eyes and, like, you know, the way she's able to reprogram. She's not able to contact them because the, I guess the one robot that went rogue is in a, I guess in a loop of playing these war games that are costing people their lives, which takes us into a last stand that I think is definitely worth your time. This is a tight movie, a cool movie, and a movie that definitely has a body count for you. So if you're looking for a body count, you're looking for sci-fi, you're looking for cool tech, but tech that doesn't seem out of this world, I think this is for you. If you love action, you love military sci-fi, I think you'll like this. And honestly, I'ma straight up give this joint 4 stars. I mean, you got Mills, who makes her character turn. You got Bukes, Drifter, who is super cool. You even have the regular drones and the more advanced SAR robots. You have this fight for survival. And whenever you have a fight for survival, I'm usually a sucker for that. I'm just gonna keep it real. I'm usually a sucker for a fight for survival. You got military men, you got robots, you got cool tech. It's right up my alley. And if you're an action guy who loves military sci-fi, or even just military, but you're open to sci-fi, I think you should check this out. It's definitely worth your time. So if you haven't seen it, check out Netflix. Kill Command is super dope. And if you've already seen it, holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you thought about Kill Command. I'm definitely into it. And probably gonna check it out again next week. Oh yeah, we get into another wonderful episode of Dropping Jewels. Every week, something goes down. We can't pick it all up, but we try to sprinkle it into this show and try to catch up. I mean, you know, I'm only one man. So first up, Supernatural has given us our very first look at what Michael the Archangel is gonna look like now. And straight up, big shout out to Christian Keys for being casted as Michael the Archangel. He's gonna be holding it down in Apocalypse World. And all I can say is, this is a big deal. The last time we were in Supernatural, we saw Apocalypse World, it seemed like Lucifer was going to be there by himself, and it's a lot of dirt and rubble, and you know, you got Bobby there, but pretty much a kind of desolate place. But reps from the show are saying that in Apocalypse World, in this other dimension, Michael is basically Genghis Khan. He's, you know, he's been through wars, he's been through battles, and he's won everything, and he's the guy. Like, he is not playing. He is a ruler, he is a conqueror, and he's been through it. You know, he's been through it all, and maybe he's a little wary, but to keep your eyes locked on him, because not only is he gonna have a big part, but the brothers are gonna have a big part in figuring out what his place will be in their own world, because one thing that we did get is that these worlds will collide. So I don't know what that means, and I hope that means that our world, Earth, will be okay, but we know what Mike was like before. Now, they did say that Michael would not be characterized the same way he was in season, I believe, 4 and 5, but he will be still, he's still an archangel, man. He's probably still gonna throw his weight around. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, because you know, he's an archangel, man. It's like having a nuke just walking around that can walk and talk, and it's not always a good thing. So anyway, guys, holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you down in them comments. Let me know what you think about this news with Michael the Archangel. I'm worried because I don't know if our boys can handle this, but you know, they usually skate by. They don't always get an A+, but you know, hey, you only need a D to pass, right? So of course, let's move on, because we got some true lies to tell y'all. Next up, Fox is trying to bring another, that's right, another movie from the 90s into the new millennium with True Lies. Now, if you don't remember True Lies or you haven't seen it, it is a top quality action movie from James Cameron. It has, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis. He's a regular dude in the daytime. He's like an accountant or something. And then at night, he goes out and he does his CIA status stuff, you know, beating down people, riding horses, shooting guns, stopping terrorists. And the movie is straight up great. But people are kind of worried because just because the movie was great doesn't mean the TV show is going to be the same. Now, Mark Guggenheim from Arrow is going to be writing and producing at least the pilot, and you're going to get Mick G directing the pilot. So there's definitely going to be a lot of flash and flair to this. I'm just wondering if it's going to be dope or not, because you know these two guys, they have their hits. They also have their misses, but at least one thing we can say is they always swing for the fences. Now, before I move forward, I gotta remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. It's super dope. And you can find them at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after show, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebangabang. And you can check live streams every day at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So how are you feeling about this? Like, have you seen True Lies? Are you into True Lies? Were you in my camp where you think True Lies is one of the great action movies? Or are you like, True Lies won all that? Or are you one of those people where it's like movies that are made into TV shows are straight horrible? Or are you like me where I'm like, you know what? Lethal Weapon has grown on me. So guys, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, let me know what you think about True Lies, the series, maybe? Anyway, we got some people in hell to talk about. That's right, Hellboy. Next up is your boy David Harbour, AKA the sheriff from Stranger Things, holding it down in a first look as Hellboy. And honestly, whether he's in color or whether you see this man in black and white, this is bananas. Yo, he looks great. He looks like he don't play no games. He looks serious. Like if you're a supernatural creature and you playing around, look, don't mess with him because this dude looks like he kills, all right? And one thing that we get from this article showing this first look is that they are happy that this new reboot, this new movie is going to be rated R because their hands won't be tied. And that does gets me excited. Now I know the younger people are gonna be like, man, it's rated R, I can't go see it. Look, just go get a cool uncle to let you see it. You know what I'm saying? They'll let you see it, they'll take you to see it, and everything will be all right. Now look, hey, look, the words and thoughts and discussions are not there said by nerds. So look, this is my show, all right? Get a cool uncle to take you see it. Anyway, the point is, he looks amazing, whether in color, black and white. I am psyched to see this, because why? If you're a demon, you should be down there. And if you're not, then you should just be, I don't know, regular human. But Hellboy will be helping us stay safe from the things that go bump in the night. And by these pictures, it looks like he is well qualified to do it. So guys, holler at me, I'm gonna holler at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you think about this, because these pictures, if they're any indication what this movie's gonna be like, I am on board. Now, for all of my folks that love the comics, Dark Horse is also re-releasing 6 omnibuses covering the whole Hellboy series. And of course, you know, in honor of this. So if you're missing a couple issues here or there, go pick that up. But before I bounce, I gotta tell you guys to head up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, check me out right there for all my videos, oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then head up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt, player. And don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right, there is no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. So a big shout out goes to LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. So please be good to yourselves, be good to each other. And if you love Supernatural, you love Hellboy, and you're even into True Lies, yo, things are about to get a lot better. Peace.